Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. We will have blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. This evening we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 o'clock. This Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday, and we will have a holy hour and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 p.m. The first Friday Mass will be at 8:30 this Friday, followed by a conference and rosary. And the first Saturday Mass is at 8:30. And the feast for this week today is the feast of St. Sylvester and also St. John Berkman's. Tuesday is the feast of St. Catherine Labouré. Wednesday, St. Saturninus. Thursday, the great apostle St. Andrew, who was the first one that was called of the 12. And then Saturday is St. Bibiana. So, of course, St. Catherine Labouré is the saint who received the miraculous medal from Our Lady. So, St. Andrew, by the way, just a note on St. Andrew. As I mentioned, he was the first one called by Our Lord, and there's a whole story about that. But also, the Pope St. Gregory the Great, whose statue we have in the classroom, he had a great devotion to St. Andrew. And he, before he was Pope, he was an ambassador for the Pope, and he went to Constantinople, there's a whole story about that, and brought back relics of St. Andrew, which he took some of them and put them in his own monastery right there in Rome. That's how much he was devoted. But he also left something in the Mass for all of us. After the Our Father, the prayer, "Deliver us, O Lord," which is a continuation, invokes the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saints Peter and Paul, and St. Andrew, because the Pope, St. Gregory, put that in there. So we have the blessing of articles today, benediction, holy hour, first Friday. Because of other things, we cannot go into this, but we have to say, if anyone is going to neglect, if that's already been dismissed, if that announcement has already gone past us, that doesn't apply to me, the holy hour, the first Friday, the first Saturday, that doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is an essential devotion of any Catholic. And to simply dismiss any of those points that we just made about those days is going to be something that you'll regret. Maybe sooner than later, maybe it's better you regret it early in life than at the last moments. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. "Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins." Please stand for the gospel. The holy gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 24, verses 15 to 35. "At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, 'When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or have infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there shall be great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days had been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines even to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles also be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then will all tribes of the earth mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, before we speak about this last Sunday in the liturgical year of the Church, we do want to make a final reference to this last Sunday in November, which is the month we have been remembering and praying for all the souls in purgatory. Hopefully no one has forgotten that. Of course, the priests have to remember at every Mass because we have all of the names of the people on the altar, and they are remembered by the priests at every Mass during the month of November. We want to just remind you of that and make another appeal for all of your own relatives and friends, but for all of the priests, all of the sisters, the nuns, and all of the brothers who do not leave. They do have relatives, but they don't have direct descendants. And that's any parent who has not instructed your children in the importance of devotion to the holy souls of purgatory, you're not very wise. It's like that gospel where our Lord said, the people of the world are more wise than the people of the kingdom, the children of light. Just for selfish reasons, you should be teaching your children to have devotion to the souls of purgatory. But we did take time to take a look at some of the things that were indulgenced on All Souls Day. We know about that. But one of them is, if you know, on All Souls Day and for that octave, there are generous indulgences for the holy souls, for people who pray for them and things like that, but who visit cemeteries. But that particular indulgence carries through, not just only for the month, but at any time. At any time when someone goes to a cemetery and prays for the dead, there is an indulgence. It is not as generous as on the octave, which is a plenary, but it's a 7 years indulgence. I don't remember if the priests have talked about the heroic act, But the greatest thing that we can do, well, heroic acts is pretty great, is to have masses said for the poor souls. So if you have not had a mass said for anyone during this month or during this year, that would be terrible to think. Now is the time to have a mass for the holy souls in purgatory. Okay, just a little reminder. But as far as the last Sunday in the liturgical year, the Holy Mother of the Church, as we know, in this official prayer of the Church, the prayer of Christ, which we are all joined to by our baptism, confirmation perfecting that, and of course, sacred orders making that even more intimate a connection, goes through all of our Lord's life, as we know, through the liturgical year, and then at the second half of the year, Pentecost season, the descent of the Holy Ghost, makes each of us join in Christ's life so that we may return with him to heaven. We know that. So during this time of Pentecost, and today is the day where, if we want, we can test ourselves. How much better are we after a whole year of living the liturgical life? That might be something to think about. Do I pray as much as I did last year? Do I pray better? Have I done spiritual reading? Have I read any spiritual book this year at all? Have I read the Psalms, the New Testament, the Imitation of Christ? Have I attacked any one of my vices? By the way, the wise counsel is to go after one thing at a time. You can imagine if I went after just one vice each year, in a lifetime you'd have eliminated all of them. So it's wise not to take on everything, just take on one. Take on, if you're really brave, take on your worst, your predominant fault. If not, pick off the little ones first, build up confidence. Have I done that this year? Am I more patient? Am I more charitable? Or am I less? Am I more generous or less? You can go through the whole list. It's a self-test. These are just ideas to help you think about it. And we think about spiritual reading, that's the reason why we talked about that right away, is because Holy Mother of the Church, and we have our stained glass window, which I cannot see from here, but it's the one right next to St. Rose of Lima, about the sacred scriptures, because that is supposedly the attack on Catholics by non-Catholics, as if we are not only devoted to the sacred scriptures, we are the preservers of the sacred scriptures. There would not be any sacred scriptures for those non-Catholics if the Church had not preserved them. The reason why we're talking about that is because Holy Mother of the Church, through the course of the year, makes sure that the priests see all of the books of the Old Testament and New Testament through the course of the year. And so on these last days of the liturgical year, this week, any of the books of the Bible that have not been part of the reading for the liturgical prayer of the Church, they are all brought up one day after another. So these very obscure prophets from the Old Testament, where they only had some verses, they didn't even have more than one chapter, like Nahum. These are all brought up every day, these last days, so that every book of the Bible is read, is seen during the year. That's the importance of spiritual reading that we're trying to point out. And Micah, the one we're talking about, the prophet for today, is reading, talks about how the destruction of all things at the end and God's coming. So it's perfect for today's Mass. So that's just a little point for everybody. Now about this Mass. Next Sunday's Mass is similar. And so we're not going to talk about that theme because this Mass is one of great warning. because our Lord goes into, it's this again, our Lord had a very busy last week. We call it Holy Week. We have heard about it in different Sundays about things he said on those days. Well, this is another thing that was said in Holy Week. It was said on Tuesday of Holy Week. He had just, if you remember, where he had rendered unto Caesar, that whole battle with the Pharisees. Well, after that battle, he had silenced all his enemies. This was on Tuesday. Spent the whole day there in the temple. And then it was over. He had silenced them. He left with his apostles. And as they were leaving, as it was getting towards dusk, and they left the city, the apostles, which one we're not sure, probably St. Peter, said, Lord, look at this great temple. This surely is going to stand forever. Look how great it is. Can you tell us something about the end? And that's where these words are. So our Lord then begins to tell them about this. And they had a twofold question. He said, what about this temple? And what about the signs of the end? So this gospel is an answer to those two questions. And it takes these scripture scholars to point it out to us, how the first part of this gospel is our Lord telling them what's going to happen to this great temple. We cannot go into the details of it, but we have the historical account from Josephus. I'm just doing that because his whole story is one in itself we can't go into. Because he was a Jewish rebel leader that switched sides when he saw what was happening, and he started working for the Romans. And he started writing down everything that was happening. And he tells what happened. It was a terrible, over a million pilgrims died at the hands of the Romans. Thousands of them were crucified outside the city. They didn't have room for all these crosses. The people were starved to the point where mothers were eating their own children. This is terrible to even say it. But this is all recorded. And yet these zealots of the Jews would not, and they are the ones who talks about the abomination of desolation, that is bringing some desecrating thing into the temple. That's what the zealots of these Jews did, because they started in the temple, started killing and shedding blood, which was a crime. And then, of course, the Romans came in, and although ordered not to destroy anything, the Roman general said, do not destroy anything, Tacitus records. But because of some kind of a fluke, mayhem began, and they burned it, and they destroyed the whole temple. Not one stone left upon another. This was to answer that question, what about this great temple? But it was also to point out, nothing will last in this world. But then in the reading, I won't look it up here. When I read the gospel in the vernacular, I tried to show this after this description of what happened to the temple. I don't know if you noticed, but I had a slight pause and I just said, our Lord's words, then false Christs and false prophets. That is when our Lord begins to answer the second question. Because there were no false Christs and false prophets at the destruction of the temple. So now he starts to tell what's going to happen in the end. The devil is going to raise up people and events and things to try and fool, even if possible, the elect. In other places we talk about, will our Lord, when he comes, even find faith on the earth? And the charity of the few will grow cold. It's not in these accounts, but other things. And there's so many other things we can talk. He did not go into all the details here about how Elias and Enoch come back and are killed in Jerusalem. These are all other signs of the end, which that is worth a conference. And we have received those conferences, and you have too, these signs of the end. And it's although our Lord says, even though these are the signs, no one knows the day or the hour. So watch and be ready. That's what the story about the fig tree, the parable at the end. of this account. The thing we want to emphasize for everybody is this. Fortunately, by the grace of God, you have responded. Oh, by the way, even though this is a very scary mess, because we think of the end of the world, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus used to envy those saints, those great saints of the last days. She wished she could be one of them. That's a brave soul. When we hear things like this, we get scared. It's going to fool, even if possible, the elect. The devil's very clever. So, will any of us live to see these days? Maybe. But the fact is, we all will have our own particular judgment. And the devil will try to attack each of us on our deathbed. So we have to be rock solid in our prayer and interior life. It's not wasted. All of the things we do every day, every time we respond to a request by our Lord to love him, every time that that comes to us, sometimes it comes in the way of refusing a temptation. Sometimes it comes in trying to do something better. Prayer is asking for greater blessings, thanks for the ones we have received so we can receive greater ones. Every time we have one of those graces, that is the moment we are building the strength of our foundation so that when the end of our own lives come, we are prepared, we have been practiced in always responding to God. So at the last moments, we are not distracted by the pseudo prophets, the pseudo Christ, that is the devil coming in all kinds of forms to scare us, to remind us of our sins. Because in this, the text of this Mass, as the introit is now said right at the altar, but it was the prayer that was said as the priest was, and all the people were processing in. And so the liturgists tell us, listen to that introit. It's saying, "You have freed us, O Lord. You have freed us from all of these things." I'm actually talking about the gradual. In the introit, he's talking about this Jeremiah the prophet saying, "I, the Lord himself says, I think thoughts of peace and not of affliction." These are the thoughts that come to someone on the deathbed. Yes, we are sinners, but God thinks thoughts of peace and not of affliction. He has extended mercy to all. For those who have not received him in his merciful way, they are going to be the ones that he comes, as he says here, in great majesty with his angels, with the sign of the Son of Man, that is the cross. This is how much I have loved, how much have you loved me in return. That is for the ones who do not seek mercy. But we seek mercy. These Mass texts tell us that. The gradual, "You have freed us, O Lord, from all those who have opposed us, the devil and all his minions. You have confounded all of our enemies. Anything that we have asked for, you have granted." I'm going into the communion verse. "Anything that we have asked for, you have granted us." And the proof is in what that is, the communion verse. "We have asked for you, and you have given us yourself in Holy Communion." It's all there. Again, that's another thing. Test yourself on this. Have you even looked at the Missal during the year? Have you looked at it on the Sundays? Have you looked at it on any other day? Even if you cannot come to Mass, have you just read the Mass texts? Little test. Because we're just looking at this, some of the things of this Mass. And you can see how much power, how much consolation, how much strength we can derive from these prayers of the Mass. And for not to read them every day, you see how much it's you're fighting with one arm hand tied behind your back. But the one thing that we want to concentrate on is what our Lord said. He warned us. say all these other things, obviously, but this is one thing. One of the reasons why is because something that's recently made a great impression on us. So we want to share that. And that is, we must beware of the pseudo-Christs and the pseudo-prophets. And we think of Pope Pius the 11th, whatever, 1928 or something, wrote an encyclical about ecumenism. And it's called Mortalium Animos. And one of the central tenets of that encyclical, and the reason why we bring this up, because many of us, because of the fact that we live in a time where we don't have the leadership that we really crave, and we can say a whole thing about that. The Good Shepherd has already provided for that. But we start to try and latch on to anything that we can find. And this is a warning, don't do that. And the Pope in that encyclical teaches all Catholics, no matter how great the cause, no matter how great as a human philanthropic endeavor, or even a spiritual one, no matter how great it is, never join yourselves to any organization or effort that is not Catholic. So as good as some of these things are in what they want to do, I will not name them. You can think of them yourselves. But organizations that are trying to stop abortion, for example, if it is not Catholic, have nothing to do with it. Does that mean I'm saying let the babies die? No way. I want to stop particular vices that I have. I'm going to join this organization. Beware. They're not Catholic. Thinking of unfortunate Catholics who have joined things like that, these addiction type groups, and what has happened to them. Because not Catholic. These are pseudo-Christs and pseudo-prophets. Just running through things, seeing a man laid out in a funeral home, not of a Catholic faith, seeing him dressed in his religion's garb and standing over him and just saying, he had died on an operating table. He was 86 years old. He had a heart surgery. The funeral director was telling us about this, how people, different things that the funeral directors do. And just standing over this person thinking, where is he now? And clearly, he entrusted himself to these signs of his religion. There was no cross anywhere. And he had himself clothed in these garments of his religion. And what good are they doing him? And we gave, after that, we gave a warning in the sermon too, which we're just remembering now. Because from that, I am never going to have anything to do with something I don't know is Catholic. Not that I had anything to do with this, but I mean, it just reinforced it for me. It was a warning, have nothing to do with anything that is not Catholic. Even if it's for a great cause, like saving babies or freeing yourself from a vice, an addiction. If it's not Catholic. The Catholic Church has all the means of helping us. And all these other things are distractions. It's the devil just trying to make us, distract us. Don't fall for it. The Pope told us this. And here, he's just giving us a detailed explanation of this gospel. Because even the elect can be fooled. unless someone points it out. That's what the priest is for. Don't be fooled. Because you know what? And this is the cleverness of the devil. And by the way, this is not to say everybody that does things like this knows anything about it. They don't. Like this man I'm thinking of, was he a minion of the devil? Most probably not. But he was fooled, and he entrusted himself to these things. What good did it do him? So a lot of these people may be sincere, and they're trying, and obviously they're trying to do something good. But they're fooled. And so here for you to remember, a Catholic is 100% Catholic. There's no 99.44% Catholic. Because a heretic is just someone who denies one of the revealed truths. We know that. So no matter how great the message, no matter how much we feel the need to belong, we already belong to Christ. No matter all of those things, if we detect, by the way, you don't have to have a PhD or anything else. You have the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You have the faith. God will give you the inspiration to recognize, I don't know what's wrong there, but I can tell there is something wrong. Have you ever had that experience? That's enough for you at the moment to go away. If you want to get more detail, ask a priest or somebody who knows. But 99.99 is not good enough. Because that 0.01% is all the devil needs to get himself in. And he will work, at the very least, to just distract us. I'm going to go to this march. I'm going to do this. Why? Have abortions stopped? So, we give the warning. We encourage everyone to follow that. We cannot go into more explanation about that fig tree. It's almost self-explanatory. We don't have the time, except just to give you the punchline, because right after this account, the next chapter in St. Matthew is telling the parable of the 10 virgins, which we just heard yesterday in the Feast of St. Catherine, which you think because of the Virgin Martyr and these 10 virgins, but it's a parable, as it came right here after this gospel. It's a parable about the end. We will not relate the story. You know, the five that did not, weren't wise, and they missed out when the bridegroom came. The punchline was at the end, because they knocked on the door as the great feast was going on. And they said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. And he said, I do not know you. And our Lord said, watch and be ready. Because you do not know the day or the hour. That's what we pick up today. It's a warning. Can't go into it. Just to remind you, you see this vestment with Christ the King on it. The last two lines of this epistle are the first verses for the epistle on Christ the King. He is our King. We follow him exclusively. We follow no other. So that at the end, we're never taken by surprise. We don't know the day and the hour, but we have practiced every day of our lives so that when he comes, we are ready to enter into the gates of heaven. May God bless you.